This morning, I'm going to be speaking on the patience of God. Mike told me you've been going through a series on the attributes of God, and we talked about which one I would speak on, and this is one of my very favorite topics. I am so excited to get to share this with you. Before I start, though, I wanted to just mention that my friend Bo Latinsky came with me this morning. Bo is a pastor in Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And so, Bo, thanks for coming. Can we welcome my friend Bo? Bo's probably thinking, do I have to sit here and listen to Mark all morning? We're speaking about the patience of God. The patience of God. Don't you just hate waiting? In our culture, we want everything now. At least I do. I don't like to wait in line at Walmart. This morning, Bo and I swung through McDonald's to get a breakfast sandwich on the way here, and it was taking forever for the people in front of me to get their food. I thought, what in the world did they order? I've never waited this long at McDonald's. And I said to Bo, and I'm speaking on the patience of God this morning. Bo said, I think you should be speaking on how God quickly acts and his actions to right away. I said, I should have picked that. I recently ordered something online, and it took over a week to arrive. And I was tempted to grumble. You know, we're spoiled by Amazon two-day shipping, you know. Why does it have to take 2 days? I want it the same day. I can't wait for these drones to get going, you know, so I can type in something on my computer and see a drone coming down right away with whatever I ordered. You know, people get so upset if you pull out in front of them. For example, my wife Christy was driving home one day across town on a street that had cars parked on one side. And when a car would be coming from the opposite direction, she would pull behind the car to let that car pass. And there was a guy behind her, and every time she'd pull behind a car to let a car pass, the guy would throw his hand up. You know, like, sheesh, you're making me wait 3 seconds for a car to go by. You know, many of you may know the song by Queen. Anybody heard of that group? As I get older, I'm more and more... You know, anybody heard of a group called the Beatles? You know, I'm afraid that I'm getting so out of date. Well, there was a song by Queen, and they sang, I want it all, I want it all, I want it all, and I want it now. I thought, oh, thank you. Maybe that's what I can do at the end of April. Go on the road imitating Queen. One thing I have come to realize over the years is how incredibly patient God has been with me. When my first year as a Christian, someone had led me in a prayer to receive the Lord, and they didn't tell me that I needed to turn away from sin or become a disciple. And so I just continued. I was truly born again. I'd go to a prayer meeting, and then I'd go out to the bar and get drunk every night. And I was miserable. It was an absolute miserable life. I did that for a year until God led me one day, as somebody invited me to a Bible study, and the guy spoke on repentance. And it hit me, and I turned away from sin as best I could. And God was so patient with me. In my early years as a Christian, I believed a lot of wrong doctrine. I remember one night I was sitting in my car looking at my gas gauge, and it was on empty. And I believed that I could speak things into existence. I had bought into that doctrine. I kept saying, in the name of Jesus, I command gas to come into my gas tank. In the name of Jesus, I command it. And I kept doing that until my car started sputtering and conked out eventually, and I had to go get gas at the nearest sheets. I just think, what was God thinking when I was doing that? You know? But then, you know, When I first became a pastor in 1980, I came on staff in 1980, in the early 80s, I was so arrogant, and God was so merciful and patient to me. I thought our church was the best church in town. I thought we had the edge over everybody else. I thought our doctrine was just a little bit better than everybody else's, a little more accurate. I was so arrogant. Here's how stupid I was. I would make people feel bad if they wanted to go to another church, to an inferior church. In fact, I remember one guy, he couldn't get a job to support his family. He had an opportunity to go to Texas and get a job. And I said, well, is there a New Testament church like ours there? Have you checked it out? Have you made sure there's one? He said, no, I'm going to Dallas. There's got to be a good church somewhere in Dallas. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, you would be better off. I cannot believe I told him this. I said, you would be better off to take a job at McDonald's and stay in this church than to go to Dallas without knowing if there's a New Testament church there. Well, I do want to tell you this. I did go back later, many years later, and ask his forgiveness. I went back to many people and asked their forgiveness for making them feel bad for leaving our church. And we've had meetings in town with other churches nowadays where I have said, you know what, there is no competition. We're all on the same team. If someone comes to your church, I'm going to rejoice because you're preaching the gospel. And but I was so arrogant for so many years, and God, such patience. He must have been shaking his head. I can't believe he didn't wipe our church off the map. You know, I tell people, the very fact that our church still exists today with me as the senior pastor is proof that there's a living God. That he would sustain our church with an idiot like me at the helm. He is so patient. I want to look at a scripture and then we'll move into this. 2 Peter 3:9. Do you guys project the scriptures? Okay, good. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise to return, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are so patient with us. Thank you that you were so patient with us when we were sinners and rejecting you and foul in your eyes. Thank you that you've been so patient with us all through the years. Lord, we just ask you to help us to see more of your patience this morning. And to become more and more like you in your patience. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what is God's patience? I have a quote that I got from A.W. Pink. And he says, the patience of God is that excellency which causes him to sustain great injuries without immediately avenging himself. He has a power of patience as well as a power of justice. Isn't that incredible? It is that excellency of God which causes him to sustain great injuries without immediately avenging himself. Oh boy, if we could only remember that for ourselves. Sustaining injuries without immediately avenging himself. It's a manifestation. God's patience is a manifestation of his infinite love. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient. So patience is a manifestation of love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. And God's patience is often associated with his mercy and graciousness and can be described as being slow to anger. And so when God passed before Moses in the book of Exodus, it says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Psalm 103:8 says the same thing. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And a Bible scholar named David Hawking, as I was looking at this word, he says the Hebrew word is often translated slow to anger. And that word is used in the Old Testament about 15 times. And sometimes it says long-suffering. Sometimes it's patience. Slow to anger. And he says it means patient as in slow. And he says in the New Testament, the word patient changes into long-suffering, which is used about 25 times. And this, I love this phrase he used. It means taking a long time to boil. Taking a long time to boil. Boy, we should be like that. So often we can just heat up so fast. Now I was thinking, I want to look at God's patience as manifested towards people in Scripture. And so first of all, I remembered that God had been very patient with Israel. And as I read back through this passage in Nehemiah 9, I was just like amazed. In Nehemiah 9, the Levites led the people in a prayer of repentance. And they recounted Israel's faithlessness or unfaithfulness to God, and they recounted God's incredible patience. And so let's read this from Nehemiah 9. And this is the Levites were praying this prayer. And they say, "And you saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants. And you divided the sea before them so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. And you cast their pursuers into the depths. You gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought water for them out of the rock for their thirst. But they and our fathers acted presumptuously and stiffened their neck and did not obey your commandments. But you are a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and did not forsake them. Even when they made for themselves, even when they had made for themselves a golden calf and said, 'This is your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt,' you in your great mercies did not forsake them in the wilderness. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. You multiplied their children as the stars of heaven, and you brought them into the land, so they ate and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of their enemies, and in the time of their suffering, they cried out to you, and you heard them from heaven, and according to your great mercies, you gave them saviors. But after they had rest, they did evil again before you, and you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies. Yet when they turned and cried to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them. According to your mercies, many years you bore with them and warned them, yet they would not give ear. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Nevertheless, in your great mercies, you did not make an end of them or forsake them, for you are a gracious and merciful God." Again and again and again, They would sin. God would say, "Okay, have it your way." They'd start to reap the consequences. As soon as they cried out to God, He would rescue them. What a patient. I would have said, probably after the first or second time, "I've had it with you. Goodbye." Not God. Taking a long time to boil. Now that was God's patience with His Old Testament people. And what about God's patience towards sinners? Like us. Like I described as I was. And I didn't give you half of what I did as an unbeliever. I was wicked in many, many ways. And God was patient. God's patience with sinners. Let's look at this for a second. In 2 Peter, when we read the verse 9 earlier, but verse 3 says, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, why hasn't Jesus come back yet? It's been how many thousand years and he still isn't back. And he says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, as it might look, as it might appear to some, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So what appears to be God being slow to return and slow to keep his promise to come back is because he is patient with sinners. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want people to perish. He keeps, in a sense, he keeps putting it off. He's not putting it off. He knows the timing when he's coming back, but he hasn't come back yet because God is waiting for multitudes to turn to him and be saved. If God had come back, if Jesus had returned in my early 20s, when I was 21, before he had saved me, I would be in hell. But God's patience toward sinners allowed me and you to be saved. I often think about God's patience toward the United States. I mean, people are so concerned about current leaders and infuriated and what wicked leaders we have. And, you know, God's patience toward this country is incredible. This nation has had 50 million abortions since 1973. And you know that God is merciful to people who've had abortions. I've sinned in so many horrible ways, and he's merciful to me. Pornography in this nation, $500 million to $1 billion a year. Millions and millions of people using pornography. According to the FBI statistics last year, there were around 16,000 murders in this nation. There were 90,185 estimated sexual crimes. Think about this. When we think about our wicked leaders at times, people, we've had wicked presidents. Thomas Jefferson had 5 children with a slave woman he owned. Warren Harding, Franklin Roosevelt, Dwight D. Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, they all had numerous affairs. Lyndon Johnson had an affair with a woman for 21 years. Bill Clinton. I mean, we've had wicked, wicked presidents, and God has been patient with this nation. We've had so many presidents who were drunkards. Martin Van Buren drank so much that his nickname was Blue Whiskey Van. God is so patient with our nation. And he is so patient with believers as well. Now, I just, before I go on to talk about his patience with believers, obviously there's a number of you I don't know. If you have not yet believed in Jesus Christ, God is being so patient with you. He could wipe you out just like he could have wiped me out for my sins.
And I would just urge you to believe in Jesus Christ and call upon Him as Lord. And He will save you, forgive your sins. God is patient with believers. I mean, think about this. He's patient with our sins and failures as believers. He's patient with our weaknesses. He's patient with our slowness to change. And because God is patient with us, He calls us to imitate Him in His patience. God is transforming each and every one of us who believes in Jesus into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? That is God's goal for you and me, is to transform us into the likeness of Christ. And someday, as we sang this morning, we will gaze upon the face of Jesus Christ, and we will, in heaven, be transformed completely into the image of Christ. That doesn't mean we're going to be God or anything like that, but we will be like Jesus. And that's what God is doing. He's transforming us by the Holy Spirit. But He does it over time. And so it says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. God, by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is producing in you and me this fruit. And one of these fruits is patient, because our God is patient. But fruit takes time, doesn't it? At one time, I had a sign painting business, and I painted signs for a nursery in Indiana. And one of the signs I had to paint was, they sold fruit trees. And I remember this. I painted this numerous times for different fruit trees. Bears fruit in 2 to 3 years. So they wanted people to know that if they bought a particular kind of fruit tree and took it home and planted it in their garden, it would take 2 or 3 years before that would start to produce apples or whatever it was, fruit. And so I thought about that many, many times over the years. Bears fruit in 2 to 3 years. You know, many times people receive Jesus Christ and they don't bear fruit right away. And we can become very impatient with one another. We should each have a sign on us. Bears fruit. Only maybe my sign might be, bears fruit in 10 to 20 years. Bears fruit in 5 to 10 years. We should have signs on one another. Now, God is still working in my life, and people have to be patient with me. Just ask my wife. I think, what did she pray for patience one day? Early in our marriage. See, I tell people I don't pray for patience anymore, because I know God will put me in a situation that requires patience. And I don't want to wait. No, I do pray for patience. I need it. By God's grace, I'm a lot further along than when Christy and I got married in 1980, but God still has a lot of work to do in me, and she is still patient with me. Don't be discouraged if you are slow to change. Don't give up. You will bear fruit if you continue to pursue Jesus. The Holy Spirit. Don't give up on your fellow believers. Don't give up on one another. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your teens. Don't give up on other believers who may seem slow to change. Here's one of my very, very favorite verses, and it's one of the most challenging verses in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Boy, I've read that verse as a pastor many times. Be patient with them all. He says, admonish the idle, yet still be patient with them. In Thessalonica, I've read that they believed that the return of Jesus was going to be any day. So many people said, why bother working? Why should I work if Jesus is coming back in 2 weeks? And so there were many people in Thessalonica who were idle. And Paul says, no, tell them to work. Be patient with them all. You know, I've seen that word translated at times, unruly, admonish the unruly. Someone is unruly. We need to try to help them and work with them, but we have to be patient with the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with those who are faint-hearted. Be patient with those who feel like, I just can't go on. I can't make it. Be patient. My dad. Some of you would know my dad. He passed away, went to heaven, went to be with the Lord in 2014. He was born in 1918. He went to be with the Lord in 2014. Be patient. Be patient with the old and elderly whose minds are going on them. My dad, he was a great dad. He really was. But he could be very impatient with someone who had weaknesses that he didn't have. See, it's very easy to judge others out of our strengths. And so I remember my dad, he quit smoking. He had smoked for 20 years, and one day he just quit. And he would always say that. He couldn't understand why anybody had a hard time quitting smoking. And I had a real hard time quitting smoking. I had a real hard time quitting chewing. I remember I would quit smoking. A friend of mine and I said, we're quitting smoking. And we stuffed 5 cool filters into our mouths, lit all 5 of them, smoking these till we got sick, drove through town. I threw my pack of cools out the window behind the theater in town and said, I'm done smoking. Next day I was on that alley saying, where did I throw that pack of cool? You know, my dad couldn't understand that. He said, I smoked for 20 years and one day I just decided to quit and I just quit and that's all there is to it. That's all you got to do. You just make up your mind to quit and you quit. Well, my dad was a great dad, but he wasn't patient with people who struggled quitting smoking. And we need to remember that. We got to be patient with people who have weaknesses maybe that we don't have. It's so easy to judge people out of our strength. So God says, be patient with them all. And Colossians 3:12-13 says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Patience, bearing with one another. We have to remember how absolutely patient God has been toward us, and that will help us to be patient with others. You know, we need to remember we've done things. You know, it wasn't too long ago. I was driving through town and somebody pulled out right in front of me. I had to slam on the brakes. You know, and I was tempted for a second to get impatient. And then I remembered, well, wait a minute. I've done that. I've done that many times. I see a car coming, think, I can make it out. I pull out, make the guy slow down. I need to remember when I'm dealing with others, I've done things that God has needed to be patient with me. I like the way this one, I saw there was a website, One in Prayer, and they said this, put another way, being patient means You give the other person more time than you think they deserve to do the right thing in a situation. You give them more time than you think they deserve to do the right thing. We've got to give each other time to change. I can remember a young man and a young woman many, many years ago. This would be in the 80s. Came to me. They were struggling in their marriage. They were pretty newly married. They both believed in Jesus. They were having a real hard time in their marriage. And somehow I had the, whatever it was, I believe God gave me this to say to them. But I said, you know what? It says in Philippians, I'm confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. I said, I believe God is working in you. He's making each of you like Jesus Christ. If you, each of you, just continues to pursue Jesus and continues to seek to love one another and forgive each other and ask forgiveness, in 5 years, you won't believe what Jesus does with your marriage. You won't believe the difference 5 years from now there will be in your marriage from today. And they did pursue Jesus, and they did go on to have a really wonderful marriage. They're still married. They have children. They have grandchildren. They are still following Jesus with all their heart. And there have been a couple of times I've reminded them, remember when I said that to you guys? And they said, yeah, we do. If we keep following Jesus, he'll change us. But we have to give the other person more time than we think they deserve. We must be patient with our children and teens. We must give them time. We have to be patient with our fellow believers. Give them time. Patient with new believers. Give them time. Patience when working through conflict with others. My wife and I are working through a really difficult situation with some fellow believers. And, you know, there's always two sides to every conflict. And we love these believers, but I really would want them to see things my way. I want them to see things my way, and they're just not seeing things my way. But I need to give them time. And God has given me great peace in this situation. Hasn't always been this way, but God's given me great peace. I have this total confidence that the Lord is able to, if he wants them to see something, he can open their eyes to see it. If God really, if I have the right perspective, and God really wants them to see my perspective, God can let them see my perspective. I don't have to force it. I don't have to get angry to make them see it. And so I can just go and say, well, hey, would you just consider this and share it? Just think about it, pray about it, and they don't see it. I just think, well, Lord, I'm trusting you. If you want them to see it, you're totally capable of opening their eyes. John Bloom has some really great things to say about patience. He says, patience requires both faith and humility. We have to have faith in God and humility that he can change others. It requires faith. It requires, he says, that whenever things go differently than we envision or wish, we believe that God is working all things for good. Romans 8:28. We believe that he will complete all the good things he begins. Philippians 1:6. And we can trust him because our understanding is incomplete and inaccurate at best. See, oh, that is so good. We will be patient with people if we believe that our understanding is incomplete and inaccurate at best. See, the problem is we tend to all think, I've got the perfect vision on this situation. I'm seeing it absolutely clearly and perfectly, and you're not. No. We all have blind spots. That's one of the biggest lessons that I ever learned. Someone shared that with me early on as a Christian. We all have blind spots. Just like in our vision, we have some place in our eyes that at some point it's a blind spot. We can't see. We have that with ourselves. There are just things about ourselves that we can't see that others see. That helps me to be humble, or at least it helps me attempt to be humble. I remember one time I was with my family, kids were younger, and I said something to one of my kids. And my child said, "Dad, you don't have to be so harsh with me." I said, "I'm not being harsh. I'm just correcting you. I'm not being harsh." And my wife, Christy, said, "Mark, you're being harsh." I said, "I'm not being harsh. I'm just saying you shouldn't do this." And then my son David was there, and he said, "Dad, you sounded pretty harsh." I think, okay, three people have said I'm harsh. Could this be a blind spot, possibly? See, we grow in patience with others if we remember that we have things that we can't see about ourselves. Well, John Bloom also says patience is not permissive. It doesn't think sin or injustice is okay. Neither is patience passive. It doesn't do nothing. It is just a relentless trust in all that we do and all that we cannot do, that God will deal with everything in perfect justice, and He will accomplish all His purposes. Therefore, we do not need to get angry. God will deal with everything in perfect justice. He'll accomplish all His purposes. So, how can we grow in patience? Just a couple quick thoughts on how to grow in patience. Well, like I said earlier, know that God will bring us all into situations that will require patience. He's just going to do it because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so in order to produce the fruit of patience in our lives, He will bring us into situations that require patience. He'll produce patience in us. He'll put each of us in situations where we have to wait, or we have to be patient with a person. So pray for God's grace to be patient. Pray for your brothers and sisters that you need to be patient with. And just remember that you have things that people need to be patient with, and that God needs to be patient with. So remember that God needs to be patient with you, and others need to be patient with you, because you have blind spots that you don't know about that people are being patient with you about. Praying is the best thing. So let's do that. Also, as we pray for patience, I would say a good practice is to thank God regularly for His patience with you. So let's stand. Can we stand and pray and thank God for His patience with us? Oh, Father, thank You. Thank You for Your incredible patience. Thank You that You are patient and loving and gracious and long-suffering and slow to anger. And we just ask You, Lord, to just help us to grow in patience. Help us to be the most gentle, patient people on the face of the earth. Let our children and grandchildren and friends and co-workers see the fruit of patience in our lives. Help us to bear with one another, Lord. Lord, we want to produce fruit to bring you glory. Lord, this is our main reason that we ask for anything, is we want you to receive glory. So, Lord, help us to grow in patience so that you will be glorified. And we believe you're going to do this. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.